Hello and welcome to another episode of the Fundamentals Podcast. I am your host, Harley. Joining me for this episode is co-host of two podcasts, the Little Women in Black Thunderpants podcast, as well as the Jumpcast podcast. It's Simon Whitlock. Simon was kind enough to come onto the show and share his love of the incredible TV show Taskmaster. Originally created by Alex Horn, one of the co-presenters on the show, Taskmaster features five comedians competing in a series of bizarre challenges presented to them by one Greg Davis, the titular Taskmaster. This is a show that has spanned 13 seasons currently and has absolutely taken this country, the UK, by storm. In this conversation, Simon explains the origins of the show, the life that it's taken outside of the TV broadcasting, the international versions, the board games. There's just so much that we get into in this, as well as some of his personal favorite moments and what it is about the show that just makes it work. It truly is a fascinating conversation, and it's really had an impact on me in my personal life, so much so that I am now a huge fan of this show. I've started watching it ever since we've had this discussion, and I'd highly recommend you all do the same, of course. But enough from me. Let's get to the conversation. This is Taskmaster with Simon Whitlock. Hello, Simon, and welcome to the Fundamentals Podcast.
Hi, Holly. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, my pleasure. I'm really looking forward to this because you've brought quite a unique topic to the podcast, and that is in the form of Taskmaster. So I'm curious, what made you want to pick this topic and come on the show?
So the reason I wanted to talk about Taskmaster in particular, I think for me it goes twofold. So first of all, it's the TV show itself. Mm-hmm. So yeah, if people aren't familiar with it, it's this kind of quasi panel show competition tournament thing, typically involving five contestants, nominally comedians, although they have extended that out in certain specials and bits and pieces, to basically do menial tasks and challenges, all for the whim of a despotic leader or taskmaster, who decides entirely on his own opinion, on his day, and based on his mood, exactly how well everybody's done. So it's entirely kind of in the vein of like, Whose Line Is It Anyway, where the points are basically arbitrary.
Yeah.
Although there are real prizes to win, including a big trophy at the end of it. So it's kind of this, like on the one hand, it is entirely just, you know, doing it for a laugh, but there is also the chance to win material goods. So yeah, and just the fun of the format of the show itself is one reason. But the second reason was actually outside of the small screen and the impact and the involvement that it has brought to people. Just, you know, ordinary people rather than, you know, viewers. And yeah, because there's such a community that's born out of it. And it's just fantastic. So yeah, I thought, why not get into that as well?
Yeah, well, that sounds great. I was completely unaware that that even existed. What kind of community are we talking about?
So it ranges from people just generally, I mean, it's the typical kind of fan type thing where people, you know, get too into it and start making like fan fictions and things like that, to people running their own games. And some schools are even doing things like after school clubs based around it. So you have a teacher who is the taskmaster and they set out challenges to students and things like that. I'm doing a quick fact check. It's a bit behind the scenes thing here because my sister is a primary school teacher and I'm 99% sure that she's running one of these clubs herself.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. That sounds cool.
That's it. Yeah. So it's because the magic of the idea of Taskmaster is that it's not limited to any athletic ability or any kind of age limit. You know, there's never anything a bit grown up to deal with.
Sure.
It's all stuff that can be done in one's living room, basically.
Right.
Yeah. And you know, in the garden maybe at worst.
Sure.
But yeah, otherwise it's just one of these things where you could, like, if you have like some people around and you got about a day or whatever of spare time, and some things around the house that could easily be manipulated into, you know, throw this into a bin from the furthest distance kind of thing.
Yeah.
You got yourself a task. Like, that's it. It's straight away.
That's cool, man. That makes so much sense. And it's the kind of thing that, now that I think about it, yeah, I could see why that would have a broad appeal outside of the show. In fact, funny enough, I've recently visited my in-laws over in Northern Ireland, and they had the game, the board game, and I didn't realize it was a thing. So we had a little bit of a go at that. So yeah, I can kind of see how it fits in. And yeah, the idea of doing it in schools and stuff must be really, that's quite a lot of fun, I think.
Oh yeah. I think as well, because like, you know, if getting into it from an academic and standpoint and that kind of thing, like the problem solving and the kind of cognitive and lateral thinking and everything else there must be like dynamite for kids' brains.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, I'd struggle, to be honest. I still think it's pretty cool. I could see that building a community. So is there sort of, I guess, an online side of that as well? Do, like, people sort of have leagues or stuff like that, or like just posting ideas of what they've come up with?
I'm sure there are. I'm not one of those people that goes looking for trouble in those regards.
Sure.
Yeah, I enjoy and participate among kind of like friends I know kind of thing.
Gotcha.
In fact, I've even done one of these myself. And even for funnily enough, the official, so Alex Horn, who devised this thing, makes all the tasks and everything else.
Yeah.
Over lockdown, they started doing one thing called home tasking.
So
basically setting out a massive task and going, right, this is for everyone everywhere. All at once, sorry to so they do that, and then they have basically, they go, right, following week, here's the best of everything that you sent us, because everyone submits it and it's like huge demand for it. But they also started doing like these themed nights, like, you know, those like old-fashioned, like you put in a VCR or a DVD and it's got like some guy on the screen saying, right, now you're gonna do this.
Yeah,
and then just freeze frame of them going thumbs up, and then 5 minutes later go, let's see how you did. It's like that kind of thing. And so a friend of mine for a birthday, I think, bought one of these and said, right, I'm gonna get 5 years to do it over Zoom.
That's so awesome.
So we were all in our separate homes just rummaging around our flats for these bits and pieces, and we had like make the word taskmaster out of everyday things in your home. And like you have like a minute, so literally you're running into the kitchen going, right, where's the spice rack, like there's a tea, there's a day kind of thing. But there's like a whole, like, getting into the spirit of it, there's like stuff about dressing up, and of course prizes on top of that, and like it's so just adaptable and so fun as well. It's the kind of thing where it's like when you see, like, when you're in school or when you're just milling around, like, your home on a lazy Sunday, for instance, and someone just starts, like, flicking something into a cup, and you go, hang on a minute, do that again. See if you can do that a second time. And then you go, right, okay, you give it a go. Like, it's that kind of trivial thing, like, trivial, silly little thing that becomes a competition.
Right.
And then you just find yourself getting really into it. And funny enough, when watching the show, and especially in recent series, one aspect of it is an element where they have to perform in front of a studio audience. And those bits become very, like, almost, they kind of accidentally stumble on a sporting top competition by, like, just by sheer chance.
Yeah.
It'll be things like, roll this toilet paper the furthest without it breaking off. It's like, oh, wow. Okay. It's like the tension of it is fantastic.
Yeah. I know what you mean. Cause I've watched a couple of episodes. Again, my in-laws are big fans, and funny enough, I just remembered you saying about doing it over Zoom. I'm pretty sure they told me they did the same thing. And
oh, wow.
And
okay.
Yeah. I could see it working when you're describing that. Like, yeah, that makes total sense that, yeah, you can go into different rooms and you can have all these random challenges. And I gotta say, as someone who was a little bit starved for things to do, you know, over lockdown, over Zoom, I think I'm kind of gutted I didn't stumble across this. Sounds like great fun.
I think it's still running. If you are so inclined and you find yourself thinking, oh, I've got a Saturday night to, you know, get some people around or again on Zoom, then yeah, absolutely. It's,
I might have to, yeah.
I think, honestly, I would encourage it, definitely. And anyone who's listening, for sure.
It's kind of wild to think that this all stems from a television show, as you say. And
yeah,
I'm not too familiar with the history. When did it first air? I think it's quite recent, isn't it?
It is. It's within the last 10 years or so. I want to say about 2014, 2015. Okay. And it stems from an Edinburgh Fringe show, as so many things do.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Alex Horn of the Horn Section and other bits and pieces, had this idea, and it's been workshopped and finessed and refined over the years until it got to the format it is now. But yeah, basically they had this idea of just having people perform these things live, you know, whether it's eat as much watermelon as possible in a minute or something like that.
Right.
Which incidentally is the first ever task they do for the show.
Okay.
And it's like the whole idea is that they're going to have like about 20 or something comedians and then just like pull from like a hat and say, right, so-and-so is going to be doing this. And then they realized that's just unfeasible. So they just went, okay, let's keep it to five and just have them on a rotation. And then from there, so it started off on Dave, the TV channel, and they were just like, they didn't think it was going to become a whole thing. So basically the thing they're all competing for is a one-to-one scale model, a bust of the Taskmaster's head.
Right, yeah.
So
this is great.
It's great. And but the first series they had this like karate trophy thing that they just bought from a shop for like a fiver.
That's brilliant.
Yeah. And as with these things, like there are iterations and variations, so now they have had like Champion of Champions tournaments and that kind of thing. So for the first one, they had like five winners from the five series that they'd had. The first one having this karate trophy, and then the other four having the heads.
Right.
And they were all competing for a Michelangelo's David body with no head.
Right.
And like, so the winner can complete the model, basically.
Of course.
And you can probably guess that it didn't go entirely to plan.
No.
When they had a karate trophy.
No, of course
involved.
Not.
So the victor overall, it looked like something out of a Salvador Dali.
That's amazing.
Installation. It was bizarre.
So does that mean it's finished then for the time being?
So, I think this thing is going to run forever. So at the moment it's on its 13th series.
Okay.
They have just, as far as I'm aware, they have recorded a second Champion of Champions.
Right. Oh, sorry.
Show.
I just pulled up a Wikipedia thing. So it says here, yeah. So Champion of Champions, first one was after five seasons.
That's right. Yeah. So that was, I think it was Josh Widdicombe, Catherine Ryan, Rob Beckett.
Yeah.
Noel Fielding and Bob Mortimer.
It's an amazing lineup.
Oh, yeah. And that's like, that was the cream of the cream of the crop. That's like across 20 contestants already coming in for that.
Right.
And yeah, so this most recent series that they're doing now, so apologies to date the already, you have like Ardal O'Hanlon from Father Ted and My Hero.
Yes.
You have Sophie Duca, who has been on so many bits and pieces, like Frankie Boyle's New World Order and things like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Bridget Christie, who's an excellent stand-up comedian. Chris Ramsey, who is just on the most like enormous podcast of the moment, it feels like.
He is, yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, and also just really funny in his own right.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Judy Love, again, who's just everywhere. But she is just like, but you have that, like what they managed to get so well, and even in that list of names, is everyone comes to it with a certain degree of, first of all, interest, definitely. Mm-hmm. There are some people who have just come along because their agents told them it'd be a good idea. Like, sure. there's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
But some people genuinely do go to this and go, I have watched every single episode of this and I want to go in and win.
Yeah.
The comedian Ed Gamble, who does Off Menu.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, he's really close friends with the Taskmaster, Greg Davis.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah, so he went to it and he was like, I want to win this. And you can see it in every single episode, just this absolutely kind of almost like sociopathic determination just to be like, I want to win this at all costs.
Right. When did he come on? I'm just having a quick look. I must be
he was the ninth series, I ninth believe. So 2019?
Because I've got him here coming up as Champion of Champions 2.
Yes, yeah, so spoiler alert for anyone wanting to get into this, he does win. But yeah. But yeah, no, he makes a big, big song and dance of it and that kind of thing. And whenever he talks about it, like the Taskmaster head statue thing has pride of place. And that kind of thing. Like he takes it very seriously. And but that's what's so great about it is that you have this spectrum of contestants. Like no two are the same.
Yeah.
Which is just what makes it so fun. Like on top of just these weirdly imaginative fun ideas to just kind of make people do. It's all in how people approach it. So whether it's you know, just going at it, saying, right, this is what it says on this envelope I have. I'm going to do it to the letter.
Yeah.
And just seeing how that goes. Because these things are ultimately designed to be funny as well. Like, regardless of how people approach it, it's all done with the mindset of, this will make funny TV. Like, you know, fundamentally, that's that idea is there. But you have some people just go, okay, I'm going to try and do this completely laterally. Like, they had Richard Osman, the guy from Pointless and the author as well, and he genuinely just went at it like it was an Only Connect puzzle.
Yeah.
And he was like, right, okay, what's the most sideways way I can do this? It's just like there was one challenge where there were two like exercise ball things, like those big inflatable like yoga balls on top of a mat on top of a hill. And the thing was oh, wait, that's it. It's like, so you had the big balls on the floor at the base of the hill. And it's like, get these two balls on top of the mat on the hill.
Okay.
And so his thinking was, okay, it says the mat is on the hill. Get the balls on the mat on the hill. So he's brought the mat down. Everybody else is rolling these things up like Sisyphus.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
Oh, God, just get these things up there.
Yeah.
And they had to get outside adjudication out of it. To
really?
See. Yeah, to see if the English language would stretch to fit that.
That's amazing. I love that. Oh, yeah. That's like, so that's, good.
It's fantastic. I think, again, like in that example as well, that's just an example and a proof of how seriously the guys behind Taskmaster take it.
Yeah.
So they treat it like a proper competition.
Okay.
Yeah, like so many times people have asked Alex Horn in particular if he'd ever do, so they've done Champions of Champions, if they'd ever do like a wooden spoon competition and get like the lowest scorers.
Oh, they should.
Which would be great, right?
That would be amazing, yeah.
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 But that's the thing, he's like, oh, everyone asks, but he doesn't want to encourage people to fail.
Okay.
He genuinely wants people to go at it and be like, do this the best you can.
Yeah.
And because he doesn't see it as like this hilarious comedy thing. I mean, partly he does, but
yeah.
And clearly he's making an absolute prince's ransom of it. So, you know, but yeah, he genuinely treats it as a proper competition.
That's cool. So am I right in thinking he has a lot to do with the creation of the tasks and as well as just like running the show and being a producer?
That's it, basically, yeah. In the episodes himself, he is presented as the assistant to the Taskmaster, just this kind of general dog's body, yes man, total peon type. But yeah, he is the brains of the operation. He makes everything, he tests it, he has consultants and interns and everything else, obviously, to kind of make sure it all works. But ultimately, yeah, he is the guy kind of going off every off season going, right, let's see what works.
I have to say I'm quite impressed with a lot of the creativity of it. I think actually just looking at the cast list and what we've discussed, because we were visiting the other day and we watched an episode. And it must have been the latest season because it did have Ardnall O'Hanlon, which I recognize from Father Ted and Chris Ramsey and everything. And so I thought, okay, let's watch this. And I have to say, yeah, some of the tasks were wild. There was one involving, they had to think of a really creative way to use a cement mixer. And it was hilarious watching them trying to figure out different ways of doing it. And I got a bit, I was just really impressed more than anything, because I just sat there thinking, I wouldn't know where to begin. Like, if you I wouldn't know what to do, but they just come up with all this weird stuff. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah, like you said, there's definitely points for creativity. And I think there's something to it, actually, of handing it over to people like comedians, right?
Yeah.
You know, because a little peek behind the curtain, well, for you, but for people listening, time travel. There's an episode that's coming out all about stand-up comedy.
Oh, and, wow. Okay.
Yeah, and my guest talked about it. Will Chich was on, and we were chatting about it and saying how in the creative process of stand-up, there's obviously a lot of thought that goes into it, you know, and there's rehearsals, and comedians are some of the most highly creative people out there. So it makes sense on paper that you think, okay, we've got this game show that involves people making stuff that, you know, and having to think of inventive tasks. Well, who's better to get on than comedians?
Oh, absolutely. Also, a quick aside as a question. Are you familiar with, do you watch Richard Osman's House of Games?
I've not seen it, no.
Oh, okay. So it's just so fun. You can tell in my spare time, I just watch a lot of stuff with a lot of funny people answering questions, solving tasks, that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
My social life is off the hook. But it's really fantastic, because basically what it is, it's like this panel show type thing, and there is a trophy to play for at the end of it and that kind of thing. But it's all based around, it's on the one hand, it's general knowledge, pop culture knowledge, but then applying that in very fun puzzle type ways. So for instance, having two answers that are anagrams of each other, or that rhyme with each other, and you have to answer both of them and make them rhyme.
I see. Okay.
Yeah, well, yeah. That kind of thing. Or say, if there's like a music round, and they'll give you like 2 seconds of an intro of a song, and you have to like play the rest of it in your head, and then hit a buzzer for when you think the song, the lyrics start up, that kind of thing.
Okay.
Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah, and it just feels like that's very much, and naturally loads of stand-up comedians win that, because they just have these configurations, it feels like, mentally, where they just go, oh, to get from, like, most people know how to get from A to B, but they are looking for X or W, and it's just like, loads of people can make those connections as well, but they're just so immediately, instinctively going, I know where this is going.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost like finding a punchline. You're just like, oh,
yeah, exactly.
I've got that. Yeah. It feels so, like, I just felt kind of relevant to kind of see those as adjacent things, because not only have a lot of people who've been on Taskmaster been on that, and also the host who has done both as well. It does feel like a very similar, it presents and rewards a very similar way of thinking.
Yeah. I think that's really cool. And just, definitely makes it more enjoyable, I think, to watch as well, right? Because they can have, above all else, they can just have a bit of fun with it.
Oh, yeah, that's it. And I think, like you say, with like that cement mixer task as an example, not only does it really show people going, okay, yeah, what can we really do with this? Like, I think Ardlo Hanlon made a hair washing business or something.
That's right, yeah, yeah.
Which the results were just, I left me in hysterics. But,
yeah.
But even on that, it's just like it goes to a little bit of his personality. And like when he sees something rotating around and around, he goes, oh, okay, that's so useful for this. Or like, that could work. And it's a bit peculiar. It's a bit strange. It's a bit creative. It's like, that's very him.
Yeah.
And then another contestant uses it to make a cocktail bar.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, oh, okay. So they immediately went to, well, that's spinning around, that can make drinks.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay, so you are very much thinking like on that wavelength. And yeah, so it really does get a snapshot of what people are like. Another case in point from another series is that there are some contestants who say, if all else fails, throw money at the problem.
Right.
So people like Al Murray, who are very well off, clearly, just seeing a problem and going, I could buy something that's going to solve this, or I can bribe somebody to do something for me.
Right.
So again, you just kind of go, oh, you're going to spend the whole thing just paying people off, aren't you? Yeah. But it's funny.
Yeah.
But it's great. And it's also funny because it's one of those things where if everyone did it, it wouldn't be entertaining.
No, you're right.
But yeah, so you have like four other people struggling and scrambling and going, God, what's going to work as a solution to this challenge? And then somebody else going, da da da, spending money.
On the spending money one, I remember there was one where they had, I think it was a balloon, and they had to try and pop it. And they had all these various items, you know, I think even like forks and things like that that you could throw. And
oh, yes. Yeah,
He said like you had to spend points, basically, like money, and it was doing it with the least amount of points. So, you know, you buy a fork, it was 2 points. But it had like one, I think it was like 100 or something, like 50 points was the big pair of scissors just to go and pop it and cut it. And it was amazing, like watching all of the people try and figure out, oh, I can do this and do that. And we're at home watching it going like, yeah, I would have tried that, actually. I would have gone for that. And then someone at the end just goes, I'll have the scissors, please.
Yeah.
And it's like, you sure? Like, yep, I'll take the hit on the points. And they just did it on the gamble that everybody else would just fail miserably.
That's it.
And that's ended exactly up winning. What happened. And yeah. I was like, oh, that's genius. They just went for the easy solution.
Oh, that's it as well. Like, it's, you know, I mean, there are people out there, I dare say, who are making, you know, using this as a foundation for loads of like philosophy or an economy and things like that in terms of studies, because mm-hmm. that in essence is like a sunk cost fallacy type deal where people are going, where people are going, I've spent so much money on this. It's like the gambling thing. It's like, well, I've spent enough things on this roulette wheel. I might as well spend another fiver because I might win.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, you can look at it like, you know, you could win a car, and if you chip in, you know, spend £10 buying a ticket, or you could just save the money and then eventually have enough to buy the
That's
car.
It.
You know, it's how much money do you spend on those things as opposed to just taking a hit or waiting on it? It's true. Like you say, I haven't thought about it like that, but yeah, I suppose you could intellectualize the decisions that people make as well on those various tasks.
I think so, and almost certainly have been people who have given that a go.
Maybe that goes into the design of it then.
I think it might do. I think so much of it is, I mean, it'd be fascinating to spend a day getting into the head of Alex Horn and going, how do you think of this? Like, is it just a case of him looking around and seeing a plant pot and then going, right, we're going to have something involving a plant pot in a task, and then just going from there? It could just be like, he's Kaiser Soze-ing it and just kind of looking around and going, chair, and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But genuinely, it's just like, I feel like when you look at these things from a distance, there is something there. There is something there, and there are layers to it, I think.
Yeah, there must be. And again, I mean, he's a comedian as well, isn't he, Alex Horton?
That's his
background. So again, it's that analytical mind coming in. So it must be playing a role.
Oh, absolutely.
I agree with you. I'd love to know how he thinks of these things. I just think it's mind-blowing. But I'm just having a look at this list of people. It is an amazing-looking lineup here. I mean, have you got any particular favorite contestants from the series?
Yep. So I'd say, well, I think it comes down to favorite series as well. It's interesting because so many people, when talking about it, will be immediately, they'll just click of the fingers go like series 5, series 7. I mean, those are mine, for instance.
Okay.
Because not only do you have just this fantastic mix of people who clearly have some either outside relationship with either Greg Davis or Alex Horn.
Yeah.
Or they're just fully game for it.
Yeah.
So in series 5, you have Mark Watson, who does this game thing called No More Jockeys, I think it's called, with Alex Horn and Tim Key.
Oh, okay.
It's bizarre. I can't even try and describe it.
Okay.
It's so it's this thing they put up on YouTube, but it's like, it's almost like a verbal tennis where they try and come up with names of either people or concepts and try and make sure and try and outdo one another and then add in rules and that kind of thing.
Wow.
And
okay,
it basically gets so specific and narrow that it's almost like you're trying to, it's almost like one-upmanship between comedians. It's like, right, okay, I'm going to plumb the depths of your knowledge and also put incredibly harsh restrictions on what you can or cannot say.
Right. Okay.
And so, it becomes, it's very fun to watch because it's just watching three very good friends playing head games with each other.
Yeah.
Essentially is what it comes down to.
Awesome.
But it's also just like, it's this genuinely good fun. It's like, and again, it's one of those things where you can sit along and go, oh yeah, I would have said that.
Mm.
And then you just go, oh, I don't know where they got that from, that kind of thing.
Okay.
And, but yeah, it's so, again, it comes from that same headspace of making challenges and tasks of going,
Yeah,
you must have a head for putting these things together.
Yeah.
It's just so, yeah, so well done. But anyway, I'm digressing, sorry.
It's okay.
So you have, so Mark Watson was on this, and apparently Alex had wanted him for ages to come on. And so five series in, they got him, and they basically put him through the most grueling mental trauma.
Okay.
Like, which sounds, yeah, that sounds out loud horrifying, but...
Sure. Like,
so for instance, one task, which I feel like has become... so beloved among people who watch the show, and it's one of those ones that people show off to other people. Basically, they gave him a phone with Greg Davis's actual number on it,
right?
And said basically every day for I think it's 5 weeks, you must send a cheeky text to the taskmaster.
Awesome. Okay.
And he was the only one told to do it. And he really did send a text every day, sometimes at like 3 a.m. And Greg really did pick up the phone every time, thinking, oh, what's this? And getting a horrible text back.
Oh, no.
And then they compiled it into a small book to show off in the studio.
Of course.
And then Alex was just reading through and going, oh, day 20, you say this.
Yeah.
but then he misses a day. And then Greg goes, oh, well, I can give him no points for 5 weeks of work or something like that.
Oh, no.
And you just see him crumble. You just see him go, please, no. This has been such a big part of my life. I've been agonizing over what to say. It's just, like, you can always just feel the man groveling. It's so horrible.
That's so good.
But
that's so
it.
Good. I
it's
love
so
it.
Good. And just the payoff of that is just sublime. But then, yeah, other contestants, I'd say Rod Gilbert is another one who is, I think, a fan favorite in terms of the overall series.
I could see that, yeah.
Yeah, and his mentality to it, I think he was one who wanted to take it seriously, but his more anarchic side kept kicking in.
Yeah.
And so whenever there was a point, I mean, there are some points where he was almost outsmarting the question set or the task set.
Okay.
So there was one, for instance, where they had a chair and it said, right, tie yourself up,
mm-hmm.
And then Alex will try to untie you. The fastest or the longest time it takes to be untied wins. So what he did was he went, right, okay. And then basically went, what if I tie up Alex first really well? Like, so well that he can't get out.
Of course.
Then I just do a, yeah. And then he was like, and then I'll just do like a tiny little easy knot that I can pull apart if I need to.
Yeah.
And I just go, right, there you go. Try and do it.
Amazing.
Oh, yeah. I think they went off to lunch. I think it took that long. But they're just like...
Okay, I love that out of the box thinking. That's brilliant.
Oh, yeah, it's so good. But yeah, I mean, there are so many things of that. And again, it comes down to the close friendship that he has with Greg Davis. So so at the start of every week, they have to give a prize, or they have to offer a prize so that the winner of each episode wins that haul.
Yeah.
So they have something to play for, regardless of how they do overall in the series.
Mm-hmm.
And so every week, Rod Gilbert would bring in a picture of Greg Davis in some awful underwear.
Oh no.
Yeah. But then one week he sent in the video.
Yeah.
And the video was of him having snuck off when at Greg Davis's house with his wife,
right.
Gone to hide in Greg's wardrobe.
Yeah.
And then filmed him sleeping. And it's so just bizarre and so dark.
That is, that's creepy.
I think the category was the most disturbing thing.
Oh, that wins. That's got to win,
so,
surely.
Oh, it did by a country mile, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, and then there was a video of him, like, it started off with him in a wardrobe going shh with his finger on his lips.
Yeah.
And then turn the camera around, you just see Greg sleeping. And it is, yeah, I think horror films have been based on less.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But yeah, it's, again, it's just that application of thought and that preparation, and also that daring and that bravery to just kind of go, I'm going to take a massive risk here and see how it pays off. And other people have done similar things to both members of the Taskmaster, I want to say, the leadership, I guess.
Yeah.
So there was one where it's like the best thing you've stolen or something like that. And it was a pair of Greg Davis's trousers.
That's brilliant.
I think that was Mark Watson. I think that was. He'd stolen them from a comedy set they were working together.
Right.
And basically bundled them in another comedian's car and said, go, go, go.
Fantastic. Absolutely fantastic.
Oh my gosh. There is, again, just some really excellent application of thought and some really just, like, I would never in a million years have the nerve to do something like that to a friend.
Yeah. Well, maybe I shouldn't say on air. I've been known to wind people up and do similar things.
Oh, yeah.
But not because anyone told me to.
I don't know if that's better or worse, you know?
Yeah, I don't know if it's better or worse, Will, if you're listening.
At least it shows you no kind of mercenary mind where you wouldn't just do something for your own gain.
True, yeah. I mean, I like thinking about it, actually. I like that there's that outside of the show tasks as well. I think that's quite cool. That adds like another layer to it where they basically have to be constantly thinking and working things through as the season progresses. I think that's brilliant because that leads to, so what you've just told me already, some incredible payoffs.
Oh yeah. Well, I was going to mention one more.
Yeah,
if I could.
Please do.
So this is one from the first series. So again, still working things out, still not sure if it's even going to carry on. So Josh Widdicombe, who does things like The Last Leg now and writes books, and, you know, he's a very, very well-regarded comedian. So they were given £20 or something each, the contestants, and it was buy something nice for the Taskmaster, which is something they do a few times. They haven't done it lately, which is a real shame, because, again, that brings out some real kind of, has someone just pocketed the money and got him something cheap? have they really gone all out? That kind of thing. And again, that also, like, it appeals to his ego a little bit. And it also that does come down to a little bit of what he feels on the day kind of thing.
Mm.
And so Josh Widdicombe decided with his £20, he would buy a tattoo of Greg's first name on Josh's foot.
Oh, wow.
And he actually got it done, and it's still there to my knowledge.
Oh my goodness.
Oh yeah. And he got it out in the studio, and the expected reaction came. And Greg went, is this real?
And a real one as well, not just like a rub off or something.
That's it. No, it's permanent. That is forever.
Wow, that's commitment.
Oh yeah. But that's, again, I think there are varying levels of commitment that the contestants each bring to it, but when people go all in, it does yield massive results, I think.
I can imagine, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just reeling from the fact that you can get a tattoo for £20. That feels like a dangerously low amount of money to make a very simple mistake.
Oh, yeah. As someone who's so far not managed to, or not managed the courage to go up to the needles. I can only speculate on prices at the most.
Yeah, same. I thought it would be much higher than that.
Oh yeah, but yeah, that's a good job. Although we're talking 2010s, when the economy was back on its feet, you know, the good old days.
Yes, the before times.
The before times. I'm glad I'm not the only person who goes there.
Oh my goodness. So I'm just quick look now.
Of course.
So where are we now? 13th season, Champion of Champions number 2. Yeah, I could see this going forever, actually. The more we've talked about it, this is up to 2022. So, yeah, I can't see this stopping. I don't know about you. Do you think there's an end date for this?
I really don't know. There have been times. So the show has since moved to Channel 4, and there was some concern when that happened about what interference there would be when it's on a bigger network, that kind of thing. I feel like that hasn't happened, thankfully. And, well, it's weird because not only did they have to contend with a broader audience, but also with having to film in and around a pandemic.
Right, yeah, that's right, so, yeah. So they picked it up in 2020. Wow.
Okay. That's right, yeah. And so I think it was like January or February the news came out that it was moving.
Yeah.
And they had started filming. Cameras are up and running in the Taskmaster house, which is not too far from where I am, actually. I've gone to visit it. And
okay.
It's a lovely part of the world. It's in Chiswick.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. It's great because like it's still one of those things where it's a little bit out of the way in terms of getting there. Like there are no real like bus stops or any kind of great landmarks near there where you can just kind of stop by or park by. It's on a main road, I think.
Okay.
But you still see people kind of popping over the fence, kind of going, I've done that myself, admittedly. And thankfully, even Google in their infinite mercy to us all, have on the maps pinpointed where the Taskmaster house is. Like if you search it, it will come up on the street view and everything else.
Nice. Okay. I might just do that now.
Yeah. but yeah, it's right by the river. And I think it's actually part of a golf club potentially. But yeah, it looks like it's this excellent quaint little bungalow type thing. And it's like watching it because over the last 13 series plus New Year specials, Champion of Champions, etc., they've all been based in that one house. Mm-hmm. And it's been like it's great because when you watch the series from 1 to 13, you see the elaborations, you see the expansions of what they've managed to achieve in this quite limited space.
Yeah.
Like they have a caravan, they have a almost like Perspex dome in there now. And like some bits have been added in, like one series they had a phone box. Oh, they might have had that for a few series now, actually. Mm. And then like a bit around the back of the house where they can use to kind of have like these elaborate platforms. And then you have the house interior itself, which I feel like it's just, again, there's so much of it which changes through the series, like the living room area changes every series based on different art styles, that kind of thing.
Oh, right. Okay.
So yeah, every series has its own personality and has its own quirks.
Sure.
But it's still fundamentally the same location.
Mm.
And I mean, there are some places, I mean, it does change around where they do other tasks as well. They all seem to be in the local area from what I can tell from filming.
Right.
So there have been spots where I've gone, oh, hang on a minute, I recognise that area. I've walked down that high street. Okay.
Okay.
I think in the first series, they even go to Westfield in White City and do a task there.
Oh, cool. All right.
Oh, yeah. So it gets around. But yeah, and they certainly don't, like, I'd say the one thing aside from just kind of the freedom that they've allowed Alex Horn to have when making these things, Channel 4 has certainly not been shy in giving them some budget, but yeah, they haven't skimped on the budget at all. And so you have these like absolutely beautiful locations, like the latest series they've gone to a deconsecrated church.
Okay.
And so yeah, they had this deconsecrated church where they hung up some shoes and told, like, so the task was to find the shoe that Alex is thinking about. And so it's like, and basically figure it out in as few questions as possible, that kind of thing. So it's like 20 questions, but with shoes.
Okay. Or,
well, okay, so they actually try and work this pun in the show. So there's a deduction game where they have to find loads of shoes based on questions you ask the other person. What would you say that is?
Say that again.
Okay, so
sorry.
So
my brain just froze there.
That's okay. So the idea was based on a game, a game outside of Taskmaster world.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking, so this is a play on words.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got a room full of shoes.
Yeah.
And the aim of the game is to ask the other person what shoe they have based on different characteristics, styles, everything else. What would that be called?
I have no idea.
So this is, again, not only where the task side of it comes in, but the appreciation of terrible puns. Guess shoe.
Of course. Why would it not be?
But again, this feels like I feel like watching this back, and they even address that in the show. Like, you see a little bit of the formulation of the task idea is that someone's just gone into a room and gone, oh, let's just think of stupid board game names and just elaborate on that.
Yeah, guess shoe? Yeah, we can do something with that. Yeah, why not?
Oh, yeah. But yeah, it's it really is just so fun to watch. And like, as soon as, and like that kind of thing, again, there was actual logic to it. And they even say, like, there are points when tasks are devised so that there is an easy solution. So like the shoe one, for instance, it was done geographically so that if you asked it, like, if the shoe was in like one half of a room and then a quarter of a room and then just kept dividing by two.
Yeah.
Apparently you'd get there in 7 questions.
Oh, that's quite good. Okay, yeah.
But people were going, is this the kind of shoe you'd wear to a funeral? Or that kind of thing.
Okay.
And so because people were going the most like esoteric and like subjective line of questioning, rather than just going, is it here? Is it hanging up? Is it on the floor? That kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that's like, there is an easy solution if you just stop. Because so many people just go, right, oh, your time has already started.
Yeah.
I should probably start fixing this. And they've done this a few times with different tasks across the series. So one being, so they had one of those things like you have in like team building exercises, away days kind of thing, where it's like build a bridge out of like some sticks or something like that, or like the most rudimentary material. And all through the room where they were doing the task, they had hidden messages saying, look under the desk.
Right.
They had it in Spanish. They had it over the door entrance. They had it on the other side of the table. They had it everywhere. And then if they did look underneath, they would have found sellotape. They would have found sturdy, proper, like wooden, like rolls kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like, oh, they could have easily made a bridge if they just looked.
Yeah.
So it's just like, it's, again, I feel like it's one of those things where it's a great gotcha moment for TV, but it also offers a really good solution for someone who is unafraid to step back and take, like you say, like with the one where it's like, cut this thing and pop the balloon.
Yeah.
Like if someone does just step back and go, okay, hang on a minute. What are the opportunities here? What are the solutions? Someone could just figure that out in like 2 seconds flat and go, okay, cool.
Yeah.
We got that. But because so much of how these things are made is basically against the clock, or it's or someone sees something and goes, right, I want to get into that. There is an element of people going, oh, okay, I'm just going to miss the forest for the trees. And again, that's highly entertaining. But then you also go, oh, that's very fun. And if you do like clock that little clue, like the Spanish one, was it said like sobre la mesa on a boat on the river where the bridge was being built, and someone goes, sobre la mesa, what does that mean? I think it's Spanish, I don't know any Spanish. And you're just like pulling your hair out going, oh, it means under the desk.
Yeah, it's so simple, but yeah, it isn't. I like that. Yeah,
that's it. Yeah. And it's just, again, it really does satisfy. And when you're at home watching it, just kind of thinking about how, like, because that's an element of it as well, is that at least the way my brain works with these things is that I always think, how would I fix this? How would I solve this problem? And like, yeah, like when watching it and when kind of having that more objective viewpoint on it, and obviously these things are edited, and you know, there's an element of trickery there for the viewer, like, you know, not all of it is presented exactly how it was presented to the contestants.
Yeah.
But yeah, there is an element where you just kind of go, oh yeah, I'd have done it this way.
Mm.
And again, that's where the community thing kind of comes up, because people start like sharing it, and you know, people start discussing it and going, oh, did you see how such and such did this? Mm. And it's like, oh yeah, well, I couldn't have thought of any better way to do it. Like, so the watermelon one I mentioned earlier, where it's like, eat as much watermelon as possible. Some people just went straight in and went, okay, I'm going to like get a spoon and start digging bits out. Mm. Other people picked up the watermelon, threw it on the floor and just started like, gorging on it. And it's just like, that's like, you just kind of go that and like, yeah, I don't think there's any better way of doing that than just kind of
going for it. No, I couldn't think of any technical get arounds on that one.
No, not in any real way. But yeah, it's great because not only, well, the success of it is not only limited to the UK as well. Like, there are international versions of this.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. I think the most successful, the most notable one anyway, was the New Zealand one.
Okay.
I don't know if that's because British humour translates quite well to New Zealanders.
I could see that, yeah. I could see that working.
But it's a very different beast when watching it. It's so they have definitely in terms of how the Taskmaster and the Taskmaster's assistant work. So here the Taskmaster is this horrible, oppressive, very mercurial character who wants to put everybody down at a moment's notice, but isn't, you know, won't let shy when they are impressed, but will definitely tear people down. And then on the other side of the world, literally, like the Taskmaster there is very benevolent and very kind of encouraging and going, well, you did a very good job for me, kind of thing.
I guess that says a lot more about the ways of the British and the ways of the Kiwis.
Oh yeah, I think again, for fear of putting too deep a spin on it, I feel like it does kind of enter into, yeah, like you say, like kind of that cultural identity. Mm-hmm. Like we kind of root for people standing up to this kind of figure of authority, and in over there, it's a good job, everyone. Yeah. we're all doing a good job. This is great.
No worries, bro.
Yeah, it's very relaxed. I say relaxed. I've seen some clips of some of the tasks they do. Like there was one where they had to do like a battle rap.
Yeah.
So as they do in the UK one, they do these like team based ones where they put some of the contestants together.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one series where they had three younger comedians and then two older ones, and the three younger ones were writing about these comedians, this older group, and one contestant in particular took it a bit too far, and they were like, I want to make it like 8 Mile rap kind of thing and get very aggro.
Okay.
And it basically, it spiraled.
Wow.
And it became like this whole, it basically wishing physical harm on the comedians.
Oh, goodness.
And it's just like, and they played the full thing, uncensored.
Of course.
They went,
yeah.
And literally in the studio, everyone's just like, on the one hand, absolutely loving it.
Yeah.
In absolute paroxysms of laughter, but on the other hand going, is he okay? Is this genuinely all right to broadcast?
It feels a little aggressive for a game show.
A little
show.
Bit, yeah. I'd say, sadly, the one place where it doesn't seem to really have taken off in terms of a format was in the US.
That
they did try it.
Surprises me, yeah. I found the page for that, and yeah, it says there's one season. A lot of these seems to be like they've tried one series. And it didn't really seem to have taken off. But yeah, that seems a bit odd to me. I would have thought they would love it.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I think certainly in terms of followers and people engaging with it, I think there is definitely an appeal for it over the Atlantic. But I don't know if... So yeah, it was still Alex Horn being the Taskmaster's assistant.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was one British contestant. I think it might have actually been Freddie Highmore, the actor.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Let's see.
But yeah, they had Reggie Watts as the Taskmaster and things like that.
Mm.
And it's like, I never want to be quite snobbish about these things, but it did suffer from that similar syndrome of distinctly British properties going over and trying to translate to American.
Mm.
Like, I think with the exception of The Office, I don't know if much comedy has had that success. Like, There was that. Did you ever see that pilot for the IT Crowd that they did in the US?
Yeah.
Case in point. I think it just, like, what's awkward in a charming and funny way here is just very awkward there.
Yeah, that's one where it's such a unique style of humor.
Yeah.
That it's almost, I would say, impossible to replicate anywhere else. But then again, you know, I'm just thinking out loud, you have got, of course, the US office as an example of the one that worked.
But oh, yeah.
Without getting too much into that, because there is a whole episode for people to go back and listen to. The success of that was that it made a point to get away from the British series. Like, they did the pilot just to see if they could do it. And then they went, right, and pivot. Because it was, you know, we need to get away from this as much as possible. Not in a disrespectful way, but just in a, our sensibilities are very, very different. And it works. And so, yeah, I wonder if maybe that's what happened with this show then. They just sort of maybe leaned a bit too heavily on the British format.
I think so. I think if it were to become a US thing, I think it would need a much more substantial budget, certainly glossier.
Okay.
And I think it would need maybe a level of competition that's maybe not fundamentally lent well to the UK version of Taskmaster.
Okay.
Is that so? Yeah, as much as it is a serious competition and everything else, there is still a level of kind of irony, I think, inherent in it, where there are people of, you know, varying standings in society doing quite silly things for the pleasure of essentially one person, but ultimately a whole viewership. And yeah, I think it's that willingness to succumb to the same kind of base level to kind of appease someone, which I feel like, you know, as much as there is that rallying against authority, which is that kind of Britishness of going, oh no, we won't stand for that. No, you're being quite out of order, chap. But then also going, oh, but you know, if we do this, then we might get rewarded. You know, and if I do it well enough, I'll get the nice things. I think there's that kind of that conflict internally, which I feel like is so fundamentally, it's just so fundamental to, like, the British sensibility, the stereotypical British sensibility of going, you know, you want something, but you don't want it so bad that you'll be cozying up to people. Like, you know, you still find a way to try and be like, actually, no, we want to do this, but on our own terms. But then also going, yeah, but there are nice things up for grabs.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, that's true. And that feels like it's sort of inherently, as you say, part of our culture. I mean, there's those, you know, pre-dinner time TV is just packed full of normal people doing game shows, which pretty much rely on that kind of behavior. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. But yeah, I feel like, because, yeah, you made the very fair point of mentioning panel shows at the start, might even before we hit record, I'm not sure. But yeah, it does, I think, tie into that. And I think while there is a lot of that kind of style of show being made in the UK at the moment, I think what does set it apart is that competitive element.
Yeah.
I think, like, so many things at the moment are, you know, it's that parlor game type thing. Like, Would I Lie to You being a key example.
Yeah.
Of just, like, it's something you could very easily do on, like, a Boxing Day.
Yeah.
Boxing Day evening with, like, oh, your nan's around. Let's just do a silly game of true or lie kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But then it's like, okay, well, we just so happen to have some spoons and a balloon on the other side of a corridor. Let's try and pop it the least number of spoons.
That's true. Yeah. We were saying about panel shows, and with this, that Would I Lie to You was the first one I thought of, actually, as being a sort of quite similar comparison. I mean, even there's quite a few, even like the more satirical ones we have over here, like Have I Got News for You, Mock the Week, they all have that kind of slightly little bit of game showy elements to them. They have little games or little moments thrown in. So,
this
kind of feels like a natural progression from all of those to where it's just all the games all the time. And
I think it does appeal to, I think there is a level of, like, I don't want to say childishness, but that kind of that level of where you go, where it's that thing where I think everybody must do it, where if you find yourself kind of going, oh, I'm quite entertained by just something that's not all that important or that elaborate, and then you just kind of go, hey gang, come see what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And like, and then people join in, and it becomes a, and then before you have it, you have a game.
Right.
Like, it's the classic thing of, like, keeping a balloon up in the air.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's absolutely nothing, but you get enough people, and then suddenly you've got, brilliant. Like, that's yeah. it. Like, oh, well, even as an example of that one in real life, so I went to a gig not too long ago, like a couple of weekends ago, mm-hmm. and there were balloons going around, and people were going, keep it up.
Yeah.
Don't yeah. let it fall. Mm-hmm. And it became a whole thing. It became a whole, like, I haven't done this since I was, like, 7 years old, and it was my birthday party kind
yeah.
of thing.
The fun thing about that, because I've seen that many, many times at gigs.
Oh, yeah.
It's trying to work out when's the appropriate time that you can grab the balloon for yourself and keep it.
Yeah. That's it as well. And again, that ties into it. It's the... Yeah. This is very fun, but I want this.
I want it. I want the nice. I don't want to be that guy that takes it after 10 seconds. You know, so you have to wait.
That's it. Yeah.
When is it? And the song is ending now.
It's like, yeah, cool. My turn.
Yeah.
I
say that as somebody who managed to nab a beach ball from seeing Metallica at Reading a few years ago, which is proudly
oh, nice.
Stuffed in my loft.
Oh, and I just heard back actually from my sister.
Oh, yeah?
So yes, she did, I can confirm, do a Taskmaster after school club. So
brilliant. I
love
that.
Is a thing.
That is so cool. And it just makes sense. Again, that's the kind of thing that's fun at any age, really, but I think as an after school club, yeah, it makes total sense.
Oh yeah. And yeah, I think it's, again, I would be very quick to recommend to anybody. Like, you know, if you've got, no matter how many number of friends around, just come up with some fun ideas and you got yourself, at the very least, an evening of fun.
Absolutely. So the more we've talked about this, and I'm thinking back to the evening I have with my in-laws, I'm definitely going to go and pick up the board game because, yeah, I think it could be a lot of fun. That's what we've discussed, even virtually or in a room, and there's different levels to it. I mean, when we played it, we didn't want to venture too far around the house, so we just picked all the ones that you could do around a dinner table, and there are quite a lot of them, to be fair.
Oh yeah,
they really yeah. made you think.
Let's say, yeah, it's honestly, I think it's one of the most fun things to watch and participate in. It's just phenomenal, and the fact that it's taken, gosh, however long in television and comedy and everything else for someone to go, hang on a minute, there's an idea here. And make it work is just astonishing.
Yeah, yeah. The more we've talked about it, the more I'm kind of like, yeah, why wasn't this on 20 years ago?
Yeah.
Just makes sense.
Absolutely, yeah. And see, it's just fun. It's just unbridled fun.
Yeah. And as you say, you can get it on Channel 4. I think the catch-up on that is free for pretty much everybody.
Yeah.
So you can do that. And the ones on Dave, are they streaming anywhere? You know,
so the ones that were on Dave were actually transferred over to All Four as well.
Oh, sweet.
So
there you go,
the whole lot is there.
Brilliant, because you know, I'm gonna start watching it then now I know that's there.
Excellent, you really should.
Yeah, yeah, because like I said, I've seen a couple and I thought I do want to watch this, and I'm gonna have to now.
Oh yeah, before long. I apologize in advance for the obsession.
Oh yeah, no, I guarantee that, yeah, within a few short weeks I would have seen all of it.
yeah I can guarantee that.
Yeah, oh man, this is awesome. Is there anything else you wanted to bring up then about this, Simon? Because I feel like we've covered a lot already, but if there's anything else that springs to mind, please feel free.
I mean, I feel like I could talk forever about every episode, series, contestant, and everything else. I think there are some really great, fun people out there.
Mm-hmm.
I would recommend, if you're particularly a fan of statistics and rankings and things like that,
yeah.
I would say, well, depending on how sensitive you are to spoilers, and I feel like we have talked about certain series and certain, because, like, you know, apologies on that front, but also not sorry, because
it's on catch up. You'll find it.
Exactly. It's all there for you to find and enjoy. I think it's also on YouTube. Like,
right.
I think they're doing up to series 9 so far, are all on YouTube as well. I think they're just kind of getting ahead of the game for whatever may or may not happen to Channel 4 in the future.
Okay.
So. Yeah, and well, that's it as well. They've also got a streaming thing called, like, Task Super Max Plus or something like that.
Right.
Which is entirely devoted to Taskmaster.
Huh. Okay.
Which, yeah, amazing. But yeah, I would say, so there's a guy called Jack Bernhardt, and he's on Twitter, and he has basically devoted almost all of his free time to studying, compiling, categorizing, and ranking every episode and contestant basically on ability by whether it's in team tasks, by prizes, mm-hmm. by the live studio task that they do at the end of each episode, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And just going, right, who is the best? And he has devoted so much time to it. It's so impressive.
That sounds amazing. Yeah. I mean, where can I find that? I just want to see if I can get the link up, because that sounds awesome.
Okay, he's on Twitter. Let me find his handle, because yeah, his content is just incredible. It's okay, so yeah, it's Jack Byrne 23.
Jack, so
Byrne, B-E-R-N.
I actually recognize that name.
So I think he's done other bits and pieces as well. I hope so. Anyway,
I'm going to find it, because that's well worth chucking in, I think.
Yeah, and yeah, he's just an absolute gold mine of knowledge and statistics and everything else. And it's like one of those things where you can just pore over it for hours.
Yeah,
it's incredibly satisfying. And like I don't know him personally. I've sadly not engaged with him, but you know, I've not spoken to him myself, which is, you know, I feel like, again, we could spend hours just going, oh, but what about this? I'm an admirer of what he does, and yeah, it's such fun to watch. And whenever he pops up on anything kind of Taskmaster related, there are podcasts and things out there, officially and unofficially. Like, yeah, there is so much. Basically, there's a world out there of stuff adjacent to this.
Wow, I did not know any of that. I can't imagine. What's a Taskmaster podcast that, like?
Basically, I mean, you got your standard ones, which kind of go episode by episode and analyzing everything.
Sure. Okay.
The official one has contestants from the past and like famous fans of the show kind of thing discussing it.
Mm.
I think that's even hosted by Ed Gamble. So that is, again, another big link to it.
Yeah.
And then they have another one. So they've even done another sister podcast, which is about, which I was mentioning about the communities and things like that, and the people who have become like evangelical of it, and like spreading the good word of Taskmaster through all sorts of things.
That's amazing. Oh, there's so much for me to go and check out. I'm going to have a little look at this and pop a load of it in the show notes for people to go and find. I think that's well worth people checking out.
I'd say, yeah, it's very easy to become a dangerous obsession.
Mm.
And again, I don't apologize at all for that. But I think it is one of those things where I would encourage anyone to go out and find it. And yeah, even if like, whether it's an after school club that you or like your kids, if you have kids in school, that kind of thing, it's a great thing for them to do. It's a great thing to do as friends or family, or even just kind of, I dare say there are people out there who are doing these things in real life. Like, you know, so much stuff from popular culture and media has ended up becoming its own entity. I mean, look at like Quidditch, for instance.
Sure.
Like that's become a sport in its own right.
I wonder if anybody's out there streaming this. This feels like something that would work really well on Twitch if you got
a bunch
of people together and, you know,
tune
in and watch them go for it.
That's it, yeah. And I think, like, from what I can tell, because, well, I don't think they would be that callous.
Yeah.
Like, no one's ever going to say, hang on a minute, this is legally our thing. Stop doing what you're doing, you villain. So, if you're so inclined, then go for it.
Yeah. Oh, brilliant. I love all of this. Well, Simon, I just got to say thank you so much for bringing all of this to the show. I found this really, really interesting. And there's loads for me personally to go and check out. And I'm sure people listening will feel the same way if they haven't already, of course.
Oh, that's great. Well, I'm not even regretful of the addictions that about to become.
Yeah, no, not at all. Not at all. It's all about celebrating pop culture here. So yeah, that sounds brilliant. I guess all that's left to say then is, yeah, thanks for coming on. And to take us home, where can the good people find you?
Oh, gosh. Well, the good and bad people can find me. I'm sorry. So I'm on Twitter at Simon R. Whitlock. I am one of the presenters for Jumpcast, Jumpcut Online's film review podcast. Mm-hmm. alongside, I think, Alex Gilston, who's been on this show to talk about Comic-Con.
That's right, yeah.
Among other things. Mm-hmm. And Charlotte Harrison, who I'm not sure if she's been on. She might have.
Well, not at the time of recording. Who knows?
Okay.
Who knows?
Okay, well, she is a fantastic mind. And both of them are excellent, just insightful, lovely film critics. And they're hilarious.
Yeah.
And then there's me, along for the ride. but yeah, I also, as another podcast, do Little Women in Black Thunderpants.
Yes, which... I've heard of this one. Yeah.
Oh, thank you. But yes, so for those not in the know, and judging by our statistics and our metrics, it's quite a few people. it's a podcast I do with Callum Cooper, another excellent, brilliant film critic, where we pick apart the films of Daniel Radcliffe, Emma Watson, and Rupert Grint.
Right.
Which aren't the Potter films. Basically, sure. We're doing everything else.
Yeah.
Hence the weird portmanteau name.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we are running out of films at the moment. So we're currently just kind of going, what do we do? But for now, I mean, like, The Lost City came out not too long ago, this year anyway.
Yeah.
So we have that to cover. But we've gone over and we've had some lovely guests as well, and it's just a joy to do. And yeah, I may well pop up with writing or some weird opinions elsewhere. So, but otherwise, those are the main places.
Cool. Well, I'll put links to all of those, and people can go and find your work. You're right. Yeah, Alex was on the show at least twice, and
oh, nice.
Yeah, I'm always open to guests, returning guests, all that good stuff here. So.
Excellent.
Yeah, I hope people go and check out those podcasts. They're all brilliant. And I guess all that's left to say is just once again, thank you so much for coming on and sharing this with
me.
I've loved it.
No, honestly, I've had a real treat. It's been a delight. And this is a great show. It just makes me just happy, really happy.
And there we have it. A huge thank you to Simon for coming onto the podcast and sharing your love of this incredible show, Taskmaster. I think you guys are listening will agree with me when I say that that was a phenomenal episode with so much passion and enthusiasm. I, for one, have now caught the bug and I am watching Taskmaster and it is absolutely phenomenal. I can see why it's done so well. I can see why it's spread, why there's all this sort of community building around it and how it can be quite a fun thing to do in your own right at home. So if you've enjoyed all of that discussion, make sure you go and check out in the show notes links to where you can find Simon's other podcasts that were mentioned. The Little Women in Black Thunderpants and Jumpcast. As he said, Jumpcast is also co-hosted alongside Alex Gilston, a previous guest on this podcast. There's plenty for you to get into there. As far as Taskmaster goes, well, there's loads for you to go and check out in the show notes. It is free, available in the UK on 4OD, or I think YouTube has a few videos from what I could see. So there are ways to get involved. If you are listening to this abroad, actually, I'd love to know, have you seen the version in your country and what do you think of it? If not, have you checked out this version? And again, what do you think of it? Me and Simon would love to hear from you. All of our details are linked in the show notes where you can catch up with us and let us know what you think. And as ever, I'd like to give a massive thank you to Alex, who designs the artwork for this very podcast. If you like what you see in the logo, in the Twitter banner, all that good stuff, then you can check out his details also in the show notes where you can commission him for your very own artwork. I can guarantee you will not be disappointed. He does wonderful work and is an excellent person to work with. In fact, I'm so fond of the work that he did for me, I've gone ahead and put it on all of the merchandise available for this very podcast. There is a link to the TeePublic store in the show notes as well. If you'd like to pick up a shirt, a mug, a sticker, some wall art, whatever you really fancy with the podcast logo on it. If you do, then please let me know, because I just want to say thank you on the show for supporting the podcast. And speaking of supporting the podcast, I have set up the podcast's very own Ko-fi support page. Now, if you're not familiar with what this is, it's Ko-fi, spelled K-O-F-I. And basically, it's a support page where you can go on and donate any amount you want to the podcast. The reason why I'm doing this is because this is a side project, something I do for fun. But there are, of course, costs incurred. So if you're listening and you're really enjoying what you hear and you'd like to throw some money back into it, then there's your chance to do so. I would greatly appreciate it. If you do, please make sure that you leave your name and details in there so I can say thank you in person and give you a big shout out on the podcast. It really is the least that I could do. However, if you want to just support the podcast for free, there are plenty of ways of doing that. First and foremost, just tell someone. I don't mind how you tell them, if you want to tell them in person, if you want to shout at them from a rooftop, if you want to throw a paper airplane into a classroom, whatever takes your fancy, really. Basically, just tell people. You can also do it via social media, which is cool, because if you do that and you tag me via the social media details provided in the show notes, then I can get in on the action and just say thank you again for supporting the show. So that's all there if you want to do that. Also, you can go ahead and leave a lovely 5-star review on your favorite podcatcher of choice. That goes a very long way to helping support the podcast, basically promoting it, putting it in charts, all that good stuff, so more and more people can hear about it. If you have done that, then again, please let me know, because I would love to say thank you on the podcast. You don't even have to leave a review. Even if you just clicked 5 stars on your favorite podcatcher, please make sure you reach out to me via Instagram, Twitter, or email, all provided in the show notes, because I would love to give you a massive shout out on the podcast. After all, it really is the least that I could do. Finally, I have one very exciting announcement for the podcast, and that is that this is now going to move from being a fortnightly podcast to a weekly podcast. I figured since we're coming up to 2 years on this very podcast, it's time for me to really double down and just go for it. I've had some absolutely fantastic guests and subjects for the podcast recorded recently, and I just don't want to wait on them. I just want to get them out to you as soon as possible. So I'm going to make that shift, book even more people on, and really just double down on this show. So make sure that you're subscribed, following, whatever it is you have to do so that you don't miss a single week of this podcast. Trust me, there are some really, really cool stuff coming up. Right. That seems like a perfect time for me to wrap up and just say once again, thank you so much for listening to this episode. Thank you for sharing with your friends, your family, all that good stuff. Go and watch Taskmaster. Go and follow and subscribe to this podcast. I will see you next week with a brand new episode of Fundamentals. See you then.